Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Lord, give us a rich portion from your throne to our hearts so that we may have life from it. In Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series that we started of coverings. Friday we talked about the covering of loving kindness. If you haven't heard that, I recommend that you download it. It was a good message. We covered the covering of light, mercy, love, the pastor, teacher, the covering for the family, loving kindness. And today we're going to talk some more about coverings. I think this is a good series. I think this series is foundational to having a proper relationship with God and a life before Him. In Isaiah 28:20, which has been our verse for this series, Isaiah 28:20 says that the bed is too short. It's shorter than someone can stretch himself on it. And the covering is too narrow so that he can't really wrap himself in it. This is a bad place to be. It means there's no rest and no protection. It is imperative that I have, as a believer, the right coverings. And apart from the right coverings, I cannot have a right life. I will have a life, I will not have God's life. And there is a significant difference. Many, like everyone on earth, has a life. They have biological life. But only really a few, because many are called and few are chosen, have Zoe life, God's brand of life. And this is the life that we are to have with God. This is the life that He offers us. This is why the cross is such a sweet thing. People are often afraid of the cross. But there is no fear of the cross. The cross is my provision for the life of God. Oh, it will take away self and self-life. It will take away self-occupation. It will take away self-indulgence. But it will give me the life of God. Why do I need self-indulgence if I have the life of God? The life of God is so much better. Self-indulgence simply means I indulge my fears, I indulge my insecurities, I indulge my doubts, I indulge my flesh, I indulge my anxieties, I indulge my moods, I indulge all these things that are giving me nothing but causing me a lot of stress. But the life of God, that's real life. That's living. The life of God will take me places, even if I stay at home. The life of God will give me a life here on earth that is beyond my wildest hopes and dreams in Ephesians 3:20, more than I could ask or think. The life of God is better than self-life. But apart from the right coverings, I cannot experience the life of God. Now in Psalm 105, in verse 39, the Word of God said, He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. He spread a cloud for a covering and He gave fire. And Nehemiah 9:19 says, Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go. And today we're going to talk about the covering of the cloud, the covering of the presence of God. See, this is what the cloud was in the wilderness. It was the presence of God. The presence of God, I have it in the daytime. I have it when things are good. I have it in times of abounding and prosperity, and I learn the presence of God. I have it in a time where I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and the Word of God is in rich supply. And I have the presence of God. But what happens if I end up like Richard Wurmbrand or one of the precious Chinese persecuted believers? What happens when I end up like so many people? What happens when I lose something precious to me. I lose a family member or a child or a whatever I lose. What happens if I lose my health? Then I have gone into the night. What happens if I get cancer? I've gone into the night. You see, the cloud, the presence of God, was very rich and ample in the daytime. And many believers think, oh, I don't want the hardship, because they want the presence of God to be palpable. And certainly it's a wonderful thing. But in the night, it's even sweeter. In the night, it's even sweeter. You see, it became a fire. And it was a pillar of fire, and it gave light in the night. And in the night, it was the burning spirit. You see, in the daytime, it was God's presence that covered them. In the nighttime, it was the Holy Spirit that came to them. In the nighttime, the Holy Spirit comes to me, and He's a burning fire. And He leads me and He gives me light. He's a light unto my path through the Word of God when I can't see where I'm going. And a lamp unto my feet when I can't see where I'm even standing. And the Holy Spirit covers me in the nighttime. And He doesn't abandon me. He gives me even more light. See, the clouds, they don't give light. The presence of God is not what gave them light. The Word of God, as it was given by Moses, is what gave them spiritual light. But in the nighttime, the Holy Spirit comes personally and He ministers to my heart. And He covers me in the difficult situations of my life. And He becomes my portion. Oh, it's sweeter in the nighttime. It's precious in the daytime, but it's sweeter in the nighttime. And though it may be difficult because I cannot see, it is sweeter. Faith is a type of nighttime because there is no sight involved. I am in a difficult place in my life and I'm simply trusting God for it. There is no light. But faith becomes the light that the Holy Spirit imparts to my heart as He assures me, this is the way, walk you in it. And I have a covering that is the covering of the presence of God. Now, in Psalm 105, He spread a cloud for a covering. That word spread in the original language is peros. And it doesn't mean to spread out, but it indicates the moving out and a part of various things, of spreading of something out, spreading something out of a garment, of a fishing net or a snare, of wings, of spreading a tent out, and its hands in praise, in prayer, and it's helping someone. That word spread out has all of those meanings incorporated into it. You see, God spreads out His presence, and in His presence I find various things. In His presence, I am moved by God into various things. In His presence, I have a garment, and it's a garment of protection. In His presence, I am protected from the warfare by a shield of faith and a spiritual armor. In His presence, I am protected by His comfort and His goodness and His provisions. See, that is in His presence. This is one of the reasons why the calling of God is so imperative in a believer's life, because the calling of God is where the presence of God is. And if the calling of God does lead me into a fire, that's where the presence of God will be, and the presence of God will protect me there. I am covered by the presence of God. The presence of God is not just an emotional thing, it is a real cloud. It's not something pie in the sky. It's real and it surrounds me and envelops me. It is a genuine covering. And it's a protection that I have. And as I put on this garment, God's presence surrounding me and in me, well, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And it becomes a fishing net. Where all of a sudden, I'm walking in the presence of God, and God's nature and character are reflected into my life and then out from my life. And in that life, I take on the heart of God. And one of the aspects of taking on the heart of God, I become a soul winner. I'm someone who trusts His promises, trusts His mercy, trusts His life, and all of a sudden, it's just as natural as breathing. I start to win souls. My life becomes a testimony. I'm a walking epistle, a living epistle to my Savior. And people come to the Savior and they receive the presence of God. They get into the cloud. In the presence of God, I take on wings. In Isaiah 40, I learn how to wait on Him. See, in the presence of God, I am not anxious. I take on wings as eagles and I soar over mountains. And it no longer matters whether I'm in a difficult trial or I'm being exalted by God. It doesn't matter. I take on wings as eagles. It's because of the presence of God. Oh, we need to learn to practice the presence of God, because really we are learning to practice His covering. Doesn't matter what the trial, doesn't matter what the circumstance, in the presence of God, I'm well taken care of and I rise above it all. In the presence of God, my mountains are made flat. Oh, there were mountains, but God makes them into a plain. Why? The mountain didn't go away. He just took me above it. It was the presence of God that did that. It's the presence of God that protects my emotions and my thoughts and my heart. It's the presence of God that gives me a quiet confidence and an assurance and the joy of the Lord. And I have a peace and a joy in my heart because I live in the presence of God. No matter what my circumstance, I'm in the presence of my Savior. In the presence of God, I can't help but to praise Him because He is good. And I develop a praise and a prayer life. And in the presence, it doesn't have to be formal. Get on your knees, have your time set at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever the time happens to be. That's great. It's wonderful, it's discipline, and it's good. But I develop a life where I'm simply talking to my Savior because He's there with me. I mean, somebody is in their car with you or in the room with you, you talk with them. I talk to my Savior because He's there with me. And He talks to me. In the presence of God, I have a dialogue with the King. That word covering is masek. And it refers to a curtain, a covering or a screen, but not just any covering or any screen. It designates a screen or hanging used in the tabernacle at the gate of the entrance to the court and at the entrance of the holy place, and it's the dividing point between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. That's what the covering is talking about. The presence of God is that which separates me and it isolates me into the Holy of Holies. You see, we are the tabernacle of God. It is me, it is my body, it is the tabernacle of God in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? You see, He bought me with a price and I am His. Why? Because I am His dwelling place. And the presence of God is the Holy of Holies that I live in. The presence of God is that safe place, that covering. And I wrap myself in the presence of God. In Job 38:9, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. And in 22:14 of Job, thick clouds are a covering to him that seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. See, the presence of God is one of those strange things. We think of the presence of God as being something that I can get in times of abounding, but we tend to forget the fiery pillar. The presence of God will always lead me into the nighttime. And then, after the nighttime, it'll lead me into the day. What do I mean? Thick clouds are His covering. The presence of God is His covering, but He sees not. You see, in the presence of God, God will take some things away from me. And God will add some things to me. God will add His presence. God will add His comfort. God will add His mercy. God adds His grace. God adds His gentleness and His kindness. God adds His leading. God indwells me. But He takes something away from me. He takes away my self-life. He takes away my natural understanding and my natural reasoning. He takes away my sight so that I have to walk by faith. Because it is only by faith that I can experience the presence of God. He takes away my ability to understand what I am doing as He takes me into those things that He understands. It's the presence of God that brings me there. And only in the presence of God will I go and I will see the invisible. Only in the presence of God will I be one who walks in the circuit of heaven. See, in the presence of God, I experience my position as His Son, seated above in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Only in the presence of God do I rise above all things where nothing can touch me. Only in the presence of God do I experience what it means, if God is for me, who can be against me? In the presence of God, I experience what it means to be seated in the heavenlies and to have the earth as my footstool. This is the presence of God. See, the presence of God is here and now. We believers, we have this interesting thing. We like to distinguish between now and then. But God is the God of Alpha and Omega. God is Alpha and Omega. He's the God of beginning and end. He is the God who is never. He is everlasting. He is from everlasting and He is to everlasting. There is no difference between now and then. There is simply the presence of God and its absence, no matter what my address. And my address may be an earthly address, or my address may be a heavenly address, but I am either in the presence of God, or I'm not. And if I am the presence of God now, I will be presence of God in the presence of God for all eternity. And if I am not in the presence of God now, then God forbid, I may not be in the presence of God for all eternity. And I won't be unless, of course, I get saved. You see, I think people are familiar with this notion, the presence of God. Don't you understand whose presence it is? It's the presence of God. Would we be familiar if suddenly Christ appeared in the middle of the room? Well, He never leaves. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you always. He never leaves. And yet for some reason we act like He's not there. We live like He is not there. We think and we talk like He is not there. But we are walking in the presence of God. We're walking in the presence of the Holy One, of the Almighty. We're walking in the presence of the One who gave His Son, who was the Son. He hasn't gone away. Oh, He ascended, but He hasn't gone away. He said, I'll give you another comforter, a different expression of the same One. In John 14. You see, that word, another, is not a different, it's the same One. Different expression. And this One was, in a matter of speaking, better. Because this One could come inside. Christ incarnate was not in Peter. He looked them face to face. That the Spirit of God lives in me. And it's the same One. You see, we think of the Trinity in such a strange fashion. The Trinity, people say it's impossible to understand. The only reason why people find the Trinity difficult to understand is because they try to overthink it. The Trinity is so simple. It's one God. His expressions are different. You have God in heaven on the throne, the Father, but you have God incarnate, the Son, and God in me, the Spirit. But it's the same one, and all three of them are living in me because they are all three expressions, one God, and they are all in us. And we live in their presence. We live in the presence of mercy and kindness. We live in the presence of the heart of God. Why do we do this? Why do we simply say He is not there? I never said He's not there. Yes, you did. Every time that His expression was not made manifest in your life, you said He is not there. Because He is there and He was denied. We live in the presence of God. Never become familiar with the presence of God. Don't let it stop being precious to you. It's everything. It's God. It created you. It's your life. It's so important that we learn to practice the presence of God. You know what it means? That we learn to live in reality. You know? You simply learn to live in reality. Isaiah 45, I will go before thee, in verse 2, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. You see, because in Psalm 27, verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him, and righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Clouds and darkness are around about him. I cannot come to God on the basis of my sight or of my natural understanding. But when I come to God and I walk in His presence and I simply live as that little child believing Him, then, like Isaiah said, I will go before you and I will make all the crooked places straight and I will break in pieces the gates, the natural provisions, the natural obstacles, those things that man have made, those things that are not of God. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, the things that keep you from your desired goal, from your hope and your expectation, the things that keep you from an answered prayer, the doubts that you have that keep you from your Savior. In the presence of God, He simply goes before you and breaks them apart. And then you enter in. In Exodus 13, the Lord went before them in a pillar. And He led them by His presence. Did you know that you are led by the presence of God? This is one of the other reasons why it is so important to stay in the calling. Because if I'm not in the calling, I'm no longer in God's leading. Because I'm outside of the presence. And I have no provision for the night because I'm outside of His presence. The presence of God defended Israel from the Egyptians. The pillar got in between them and it dealt with them. And they were afraid of the pillar. This is like the world. They are afraid of the pillar of God. The presence of God scares them. They do not understand it. Why? Because they think it'll take their life. You know why they think that? Because it'll take their life. It will. It'll bring me to the cross. It'll take my life and it'll give me God's life. And God's life becomes a reality in my life where I can experience it on a daily basis. Moment by moment, and I have the life of God. It's in the presence of God. Moses went into the mountain. And the mountain was covered by the cloud. And the cloud was the presence of God, and God spoke to him out of the cloud. And he was in the cloud for 40 days, and he came down, and he glistened. The presence of God was all over him. It's no different with us. Walk in the presence of God and people look at you and they don't even have, you don't have to say a word to them. People just look at you and they see that there is a difference. They're often drawn to something they do not understand. Just some quality about this person. I don't even know, but something about them draws me. It's the presence of God. We glisten with the presence of God. It radiates out of us. It's a light to the world. In Exodus 33, Moses said, God, if you're not going in front of me, don't bother taking me. He said in verse 14, my presence, God said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I find my rest in the presence of God. I find my relaxation in the tribulation and my confident expectation from God in the trial when I am in the presence of God. I no longer have to take the bull by the horns. There is no bull. I simply live in the presence of God. And I rest in my trials. Why? Because God is there. He may be sleeping in the boat, but there's a good reason for it. He's resting. Why? Because the storm doesn't scare him. Why? Because he's God. If I'm in the presence of God, I can just lay down right next to Him and fall asleep too. Why? Because the storm won't scare me. Why? Because He's God. I'm in the boat with God. Whatever I am in my life, I'm in the boat with God. Because I'm in His presence. And He'll take care of me. And as long as I'm in His presence, nothing can touch me. Nothing. And even if a trial comes my way, it cannot touch me. Even if illness comes my way, it cannot touch me. Why? Because an illness is simply an illness of the flesh. It's not an illness of who I am. And if, God forbid, I should happen to go home early because of that illness, it's still not changing who I am. It's just changing where I live. And I live in the presence of God, so even that part doesn't change. Just the address, the number on the post changes, that's all. This is why so many believers, like Amy Carmichael or Mother Teresa, I know they had their human moments of frailty. They knew the presence of God and they were able to rest in the difficulties. In the difficult times. Richard Wurmbrand, praising God in solitary confinement, dancing before the Lord in celebration of His Savior. And even when he couldn't remember the verses, he had a prayer to God. And it was distraught when he couldn't even remember a single verse. Here's this pastor and he can't remember a single verse because he has been through so much. And he prays and the presence of God is there. And what happens? Well, he prays and an angel comes. And the angel says to him, do you love Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. He said, well, he loves you too. It was the presence of God that preserved him. It was the presence of God why he would not deny his Savior. I live in the presence of God. And the presence of God will take me to places I would not necessarily want to go. Like Richard Wurmbrand. I'm sure he wasn't all too excited about the prison. But he went there. He went there. The presence of God. Peter, after Paul dies, goes to minister to the church in Rome. And he gets executed there. I'm sure as a nationalistic Jew, he wasn't too keen on going to Rome. But when he became spiritually mature, another girded him, and he went to where he would not go. And when he was crucified, he was crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified like his Savior. It was the presence of God. The presence of God with the thief on the cross. And the thief said to him, after wasting his entire life, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. The very last moment of opportunity, remember me." And he said, "Today you will accompany me into paradise." How many people accompanied the Savior into paradise? Elijah didn't. Moses didn't. Abraham didn't. Paul or Peter didn't. John the Apostle didn't. David didn't. The thief on the cross, he accompanied the Savior into paradise. Why? Because after an entirely, completely, and utterly wasted life, he found the presence of God. And he was given the greatest honor anybody had ever received. I love that, that it was given to a thief. And Moses said to God in verse 15 of Exodus 33, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." God, don't take me anywhere where your presence will not be there. I don't want to go anywhere where God's presence is not. And if it means that I don't walk by sight, that I walk purely by faith, I walk in the presence of God. You know what? God's presence never gives me sight. It's difficult to see your way in a cloud. You ever been in an airplane in a cloud? How far could you see? The presence of God is not going to give you sight. It'll give you faith. In Revelation 23:21, in a part of the verse, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and the presence of God is at the door of the tabernacle." It's in Numbers 9. The presence of God is at the door of the tabernacle. You know what happens when I leave the presence of God? Some people do this. They'll walk out of their call and they leave the presence of God. I know people like this. Numbers 12:10. When they were no longer in the presence of God, behold, Miriam became leprous. This is an application, but it is a true application. Behold, Miriam became leprous. Why did she become leprous? Because she argued with God's decisions, with God's choices made through the man that God had given them to. And she fought it and she argued. And she became a leper. And it became evident when she was no longer in the presence of God. Why? If I am outside the presence of God, all I have left is the corruption of my flesh. There is nothing else. Apart from the presence of God, I live in the corruption of the flesh. I can't go there. The prodigal left the presence of his father, and he lived in the corruption of his flesh. He can't go there. And his sin chastised him, and it was very cruel to him. Leaving the presence of God is a very cruel thing to do to myself. Walking outside of the calling of God is a very cruel thing to do to myself. All I have is something that is utterly corrupt and decaying and dying. And that's all I'm left with. How many believers live like this? Were they outside of the call, outside of the presence of God? How many believers even know what a call is? Because they have been untaught. They never did manage to enter into the presence of God. This is why Jeremiah and Ezekiel were so adamant about pastors. That they teach the flock, that they feed them, and Peter also, that they feed the flock. in the presence of God, in Numbers 11, I find the Word of God. And in the presence of God, I will start to speak the Word of God. Because the presence of God comes through His Word first. It precedes Him. And then Moses spoke to God in the cloud, and the cloud, the voice of God came out of the cloud, out of His presence. How often do you have people heard the Word of God from a pulpit, but there was no presence of God in the room? And they heard words apart from God. It was simply a man speaking. But how many times can believers who have a godly, spirit-filled pastor and there's a presence of God there, they hear the words and they are spoken out of the presence of God. And they are covered and the words give them life and they transform their hearts because it is the presence of God. Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and the cloud came. And the voice came out of the cloud. The only place that I can fellowship with the Savior, with God, is in His presence. And there is no other place that I can fellowship with Him. I need the presence of God. I need the presence of God. You know, it doesn't matter if it costs you your life. Never, never trade the presence of God. Never trade the call of God. Never trade the perfect will of God. It doesn't matter if it costs you your life. Because if you trade it, you give away your life. And I will guarantee you that if you want to walk and live in the presence of God, it will cost you your life. Self will not be permitted to remain. Sight will not be permitted to remain. Doubt will not be permitted to remain. It will cost you your life. But the exchange is phenomenal. The life of God in a man. But it only comes through the presence of God. And in that presence of God, I get God's life. And I lose my own. Walk away from the calling of God, from the presence of God, from the perfect will of God. And you gain your life. But what you gain is a corrupt flesh. What you gain is leprosy. And though you may be a living leper, you are decaying and dying. But the presence of God takes that away and gives you God's life. Never trade the presence of God. Never trade the presence of God. Never trade the promises of God. Never trade the Word of God. Don't trade faith for unbelief or faith for sight. You're trading the presence of God. There's nothing sweeter. There's nothing better than the presence of God. You can't get it by sight. And you can't reason your way into it. You simply enter into it by faith. You enter into it by faith. And in closing, in Isaiah 14:4, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression and as a cloud thy sin. The presence of God takes me out of a life of sin. And though I may be saved and my sins may be forgiven, I still may have a besetting sin. I still may have a weakness that overpowers me, but I will not live in it in the presence of God. You see, it's the presence of God that makes righteousness experiential. It's God's presence and God's goodness that leads people to repentance. It's in the presence of God where I no longer want those things of the flesh, but I want the things of the Spirit, and that becomes the longing of my heart. It's only in the presence of God. Outside of the presence of God, I have nothing except the longing, the flesh. I have nothing but the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I have nothing apart from the presence of God. But in the presence of God, my sin is taken away in an experiential sense where I become an overcomer over that weakness or that lust pattern. And I have the practical experience of the life of God. Not just the position, but the practical experience. In Job 37:21, "And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them." And when I cannot see, because I am in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will pass and He will clean me. And He will make me pure, and He will apply the finished work to my heart and to my life and to my mind and my frame of reference and my emotions and all the parts of my soul. And He will cause me to live in the realization of the finished work, so it is real and living in my life. So it's no longer a theology, it's simply a practical reality. This is how I live. And it becomes the finished work. It's in the presence of God. In Genesis, in verse 9, in chapter 9 and 13, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." And in verse 16, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." It is in the presence of God that you find the bow. The bow is the mercy and the grace of God. In Revelation chapter 4, there is an emerald rainbow around the throne, and it's a throne of grace, because grace is that authority of the throne of God. And it's a full circle rainbow. That means it's a completed rainbow. It's a finished work. It's complete. And it is because of the finished work and the grace and the mercy of God that I am there before Him. And this is how I approach the throne. And God will look into His presence. And what does He see in His presence as I am there? He sees grace. He will look into His presence. And I am in that presence. And He sees grace. He sees His authority and His governing principle. And He cannot see my fault and my sin. All He sees is His governing principle. He sees the blood of the Lamb. And when He looks at me, a sinful man, He sees grace. Because He sees the blood of the Lamb. And so I make my home in the presence of God. I rest there. In Psalm 104, there's a chamber in the waters, and a cloud is my chariot. In the Word of God I rest. In the Word of grace, in the Word of mercy, in the Word of the finished work I rest. In the promises I rest. And there's a chamber. And His presence is my chariot. His presence is what leads me and takes me and guides me. It protects me and it's covering me. And that's where I find my rest, and that's where I find my protection, because I'm in the presence of God. Only in the presence of God will I find rest and protection. Amen.